For those of you that have been following along, you know that we are in a series on the Ten Commandments and started the 1st of January, and we've making our way through the commandments and what they say to us today and the importance of them in our world and our culture. Last Sunday, we've been out of order, but I think we're back on order. Last Sunday, we talked about the importance of Sabbath and God's gift to us. I want to talk to you today about another of the gifts of God, a great gift. And in the seventh commandment, we have these words, "You shall not commit adultery." And this morning, I want to talk about the gift of marriage and the wonder of marriage and God's heart for marriage. We have this short video, and then we'll talk about the gift that God gives us.
Today, I am unreal. I know cheating on your spouse is wrong, but you know how you could be driving along a road you've driven 1,000 times, and then out of nowhere, an accident happens? It's not like you wanted it to, but it just happens. Well, that's what it was like with this guy at work. We were flirting. I thought I had it under control, but then something happened that I didn't stop. And now, I've hurt everyone that I love. Today, I am unreal. I know cheating on your spouse is wrong, but you know how you could be driving along a road you've driven 1,000 times, and then out of nowhere, an accident happens? It's not like you wanted it to, but it just happens. Well, that's what it was like with this guy at work. We were flirting. I thought I had it under control, but then something happened that I didn't stop. And now, I've hurt everyone that I love.
I'd like to begin by reading from the book of Genesis chapter 2 and read from the early story of the creation of man and the creation of marriage. And then I'm going to read quite a few scriptures today from different parts of the Bible, from the book of Proverbs, from the book of Matthew, and a couple of other places. But I want to start this morning with chapter 2 and begin reading at verse 20. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." The man and the wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. I especially want to point out, as we look through several scriptures this morning, the 24th verse that I read, and I'm going to read it again. And I want you to hear these words. It says in verse 24, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." One flesh. That's quite a concept, a term that we find here in the scriptures, and probably if you've spent much time thinking about the first couple of chapters of the book of Genesis, you think about the wonder of one flesh and what it meant that God created this, whatever you want to call it, this institution, some people call it the gift, the wonder of marriage. I want to say this morning that the gift of marriage is one of the most wonderful gifts that God has ever created. I've said that several times in this series on the Ten Commandments. I talked about life and how the wonder of life is. Last Sunday morning, talked about the importance of Sabbath and the gift that God gave us for Sabbath. And if we ignore it, if we don't cherish it, if we don't understand it or seek it, then we are missing something important from the Creator that He gives us as a precious gift. Of also the gifts of God, I believe that marriage is one of the most amazing gifts. When God created marriage, and what He says here in Genesis chapter 2 and elsewhere in the Scriptures, it gives us a picture of a God that has this creative ability to give mankind an amazing something that is a great, great blessing. It's an incredible gift. Marriage is an incredible gift created by God, made by this awesome Creator. The idea of it, the place of it, the fulfillment of it in God's plan is absolutely incredible and way up there in the most incredible gifts, I think. When I try to describe God and the gifts of God, and there are many, this is one. But to me, this is one of the gifts of God that's absolutely incredible. And if we don't see it as a gift from God, then we miss something very important about what it is and why God created it. It is a gift. You think of a gift that's given from someone who loves deeply, and God Himself who gives this gift. I realize that this gift is very valuable. Marriage itself, it's something to be cherished. It's something to be nurtured. It's something that is exciting and fulfilling and somehow helps to meet one of the deepest needs that we feel in our humanity. Deepest needs we feel in our humanity. The gift of marriage is absolutely amazing and incredible. It's also a gift that the Bible tells us here in the seventh commandment, and we find throughout the Bible, it's a gift to be protected. It's a gift to be specially cared for and held as if someone would give you the most expensive gift possible to you. I don't know what that would be. I don't know what that would be for me, but try to imagine someone giving you a gift that you just really cherish and love and care about. And marriage is one of those gifts from God like that. And cherishing that gift is so important. As it is with all of God's gifts. I mentioned several earlier. The gift of salvation. Another gift of God. How He willingly, freely offers that to us. And it's up to us to cherish it. It's up to us to hold on to it. It's up to us to embrace it and enjoy the benefits of it. It's a gift. But if you don't cherish the salvation that God wants you to have, you can reject it. It's the same with all the gifts that God gives. We also know, and I have to say some things this morning that aren't as pleasant as I might want to be, we also know that there is an enemy out there who's trying to destroy the best gifts of God. Every one of the good gifts of God, the enemy's trying to destroy. Look at faith. Look at Christianity. Look at the things that we cherish as God's people and we cherish from God's Word, and see how the enemy is trying to destroy. He's trying to destroy families. We know that. You know that. We live in a hurting, broken world. Many of us have been hurt and broken by the enemy's attacks and trying to destroy the preciousness of marriage and the bonds of family between husband and wife and parents and children. And the family is under attack. Why? Why is it under attack in our culture and even in our education system? And so why is the family under attack? Because it's one of the greatest gifts of God. And the agenda of homosexuality that's out there is a direct attack of the enemy to destroy families. That's what it is. I wish it wasn't that way, but that is what it is. It's an attack on God's authority. In any way we look at the amazing gift of marriage, other than a gift of God, attacks the authority of God and the blessings of God. God gave marriage because He wants to bless us. What a gift. What a blessing. Marriage was always, and sex was always, a precious gift from God. Both marriage and the sexual fulfillment is a great gift of God, and we should be grateful and thankful for a creative God. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, we have these words: marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. The first part of that says marriage should be honored by all. Marriage should be honored by all those that are seeking God's Spirit and God's grace and God's... marriage should be honored by all of us who come today to say, God, we want Your will to be done in our lives. The young and the old, the single and the married, those that have been married, those that have been divorced, those that have lost a spouse. Marriage should be honored by all of us. It should be honored by people where it's not. It should be honored by the Hollywood producers, but it's not. Just in case you're wondering about that, when you turn on your TV and you see and you hear the bombardment of immorality, realize what it is. It's part of the enemy's plan to desensitize us to the honor of who God is and the holiness of God. To watch it and read it and listen to it and engage in it in the mind is not honoring to God. Marriage should be honored by all. As God's people, we should be the ones that are honoring marriage and honoring God's plan of purity. If we don't, we're pretending something. We're acting like we believe in something that we really don't. One is the holiness of God. One is the authority of God. And one is the gifting of God. Marriage should be honored by all. And the marriage bed kept pure. The marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. I want you to know that God has a beautiful gift. And we need to be mindful and careful. And so to all the Hollywood producers and all the internet users, all the nasty novels out there and filthy magazines and innuendos that are part of entertainment, who are we? What do we want to be? Are we going to stand up for what God gives as a gift, or are we going to shake our head to it and say it's really not that big of a deal? For all the pornography, dress that is immodest, however you define that, for all the foul-mouthed jokes, this is the way it is. God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Your sexuality is a great gift. It's important to God. It's a great gift. It's one of the, as I've named several, it's one of the greatest gifts God gives is your sexuality. Value it. Cherish it. Understand how precious it is and how God wants to bring fulfillment to your heart and your mind and your spirit. Sex outside of marriage between one man and one woman is sin, and it separates us from God. In our culture today, you won't find very many people out there in the culture that will tell you that that's true, but it is true. God's word has not changed about sexual immorality just because it's all over movies and stuff you read and stuff you listen to. And God's heart has not changed about morality because God loves us. The enemy wants to destroy us, but God loves us. And so hearing the heart of God and saying, God, I want to be my life and my body and my marriage, I want it to be in the center of Your will, is what we need to keep praying for. You see, sexual immorality is a broad category in this verse, in this text. Any sex outside of God's plan between a husband and a wife is wrong. God wants us to know that and understand that. He wants us to honor the marriage bed and the way, in so many ways that we can do that. And so honoring and protecting marriage is so important. I'd like to mention five things this morning about protecting marriage. If you're married today, I hope that it would help you to be reminded of things that are important. If you're not married and you would like to be, or maybe you are married and you're not anymore and you feel a lot of things, I understand today that in this group of people, there's going to be a lot of different people who have a lot of different experiences, some that are very difficult and painful. That's one of the things that, for me personally, to preach about this subject is harder, because I don't want the things that I say to hurt. I want it to help people. But I realize the topic itself will bring up pain for some people, and pray that God will help you. Number one, where you fall short, where I fall short, God has the remedy. That simply is to come to Him and say, God, I give this area of my life to You. When we sin, if we sin, He says, He's faithful and just when we come and repent from that sin to forgive us from our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So just let me say before I get into this next section that if you find yourself falling short, I want you to know God loves you so much. Oh, He loves you so much. And part of what He says in the Scriptures is to help you to come back to Him, to come back to His heart, to come back to truth. So five things I want to say about protecting marriage today. Number one is invest in the treasure. Invest in the treasure. If you're single, invest in the treasure of God's plan for marriage. If you're married, invest in the treasure of the husband or the wife that God's allowed you to have, and treasure them all that you can. That's a lifelong work. We're human by nature. We're not always very perceptive of the needs between men and women. Obviously, men are from where? Mars? I don't know. Women, I don't know where they're from. They're from somewhere, though. We're all different. And investing our hearts and our times and our care for one another, there's no substitute for that. There's no substitute for investment of your time and your life in your spouse and what God wants for you. God cares deeply about your investment, your time, your care, your affections, how you deal with life's pressures and problems and situations. Number two I want to say this morning is protecting your marriage, how important it is to resolve conflicts. Resolve conflicts. Unresolved conflicts just add up and add up in relationships and marriages. Be able to ask for forgiveness. Resolve conflicts. Be able to say, I'm sorry. I forgive you. Forgive even as God has forgiven you. Another scripture says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I think that many problems in marriages are because conflicts are never resolved. One person is willing to deal with it, but the other one is not. It takes two people to make the marriage a strong marriage. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I also would say of protecting your marriage, listen carefully. And this is hard to do. It's hard for us to listen to the other person. It's hard for all of us to do that. It just seems like we get wax in our ears. You know, I've had wax in my ears all my life. My mother used to come at them with bobby pins, you know. Sometimes it's hard to listen because we're in our own world. We're male, we're female. We have our own perspectives, the way we look at it. And the truth is, a lot of conflict is because we really don't hear the heart of the other person. We don't hear the need. We might say we listen to the words, but we don't hear deeply. We don't listen deeply to those words. Listen carefully. Deal with the wax in your ears. Number four I want to say is about the gift of sexuality and how wonderful it is. Seek sexual fulfillment in the plan of God. The marriage bed is undefiled. That's not something we need to be ashamed of. That's God's plan, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says, "Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." You know, God's plan is that sexuality will be a wonderful fulfillment to that relationship. And a healthy sex life is key, is one of the keys to protecting marriage and being a fence and a boundary, healthy. Speak honestly with love. A lot of people speak truth out there in marriage and conflict and couples. I hear a lot of people who speak truth. Sometimes what I hear is that they lack the deep love. And their words may be true, but their hearts are not right. And so they speak words that hurt and injure and tear one another. Speak truth with love, not with harshness, not with a condescending spirit. Attitude means so much. If you want to protect your marriage, finally, guard your heart. Guard your heart. One of the principles that we have in the scripture is that the heart is the place where all the conflict originates in our lives. So guard your heart. Would you go on to that next slide, Nate, please? Above all else, Proverbs, I'm going to read several Proverbs in a few minutes. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I quote that scripture so often, it probably would be one of my top five in my life and how I perceive God and how important it is that you guard your heart in your marriage. Because life can be hard. It can be hard in the best of circumstances. I mean, it comes at us, family and conflicts and finances and illnesses and neighbors and who knows. And it just kind of makes everything all cloudy and dirty. And so God reminds us in this area of marriage, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Don't let the stuff gunk up in your heart, in your life, but take care of it and deal with it. And guard it, because it's so important. Probably, and I've been asked this a couple of times, and there's one word that describes to me why there's most conflict in marriages. I think most of the time it can be summed up in one word. Though if you're inclined to think like me, which you're probably not, but if you were, then the word would be selfishness. It's got a big I in the middle of it, selfishness. Why do we have conflicts? Because we want something and we don't get it. That's what James tells us. Why do we struggle? Why do we struggle in marriage? It's usually because we want something and we can't have it, or don't get it, or it's not satisfying to us. The big I want, I need, I speak. I'm not listening. I won't change. I demand. The big I. On the other hand, what fulfills marriages the best? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, I believe, gives us the answer to that. The answer really is humility. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. That's the two ends of the spectrum. Selfishness or humility. And the more selfish we are, the harder it is to find fulfillment in marriage relationship. I want to read from Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5, what he said about this commandment, the seventh commandment. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." I realize that marriage is very sacred in the heart of Jesus. And as he was teaching, he understood the external part of the commandment. And yes, it would be wrong to commit adultery, and Of course, it would be wrong to commit adultery, but Jesus, again, was going deeper into the heart of man, into the place that sometimes we feel tempted and we feel struggles. Jesus was identifying that. Jesus knew that the Father's plan was a good plan and a great gift. Let me just digress for a minute and talk about God's plan for sex. Again, five words. One is God's plan is that it be pure. It be in God's authority and the beauty and the wonder of an infinite creator that he could create such a wonderful dynamic, a dynamos between a man and a woman. God created sex also for pleasure, not to be ashamed of or afraid of, but realize that it's one of the greatest things that God has given us. God created sex for more people. That's a pretty obvious one, but yet that's important as we think about God's commandment in the first two chapters of Genesis to fill the earth. That's a part of God's plan. A part of God's beauty and wonder was the filling of the earth. God's plan also is for unity and oneness. And I mentioned that a little bit ago, how God intended that sexual pleasure would bring two people together in a lifetime commitment and help them to be bound together and committed together and connected together. And yet the world and the culture and the enemy is trying to destroy that oneness. Another word that describes God's plan for sex is holiness. Think, well, holiness, that's a strange word. Holy meaning to be set apart. It is to be set apart. It is to be something different and special that God has made and created. There's so many scriptures about the uniqueness and the wonder of God's plan, the special, most different avenues of expression of the wonder of God's plan for our sexuality, the Proverbs. And there's so many of them. I want to read a few of them. This morning, first from chapter 5 of the book of Proverbs, and then I'm going to read from chapter 6 as well, but reading from chapter 5, Proverbs is a great book. It's a great book for men. It's a challenging book for men and their sexuality, because there's many places in Proverbs that you can tell the person that wrote it was dealing with his sexuality and what he has observed and seen. And so he writes, and part of what he writes, he says, "My son, pay attention to my words." Like he's talking to his son and saying, "Son, don't do what I've done. I've really messed things up, but hear the truth here." Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. "Drink water from your own well, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress who embraces the bosom of another man's wife? For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths." Proverbs chapter 5 helps us to hear the heart of God. Know how precious your wife, your husband is. Keep yourself, your mind, your life clean and pure before God. I love especially this verse 18. "May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth." Thinking about some of the couples of our church, I prayed earlier for Donnie and Esther Stiers, and they've been married. Help me out, Pam. 60-something, yeah. We have several couples here, married 60, some getting way up there. So good the Shamboks are able to be back with us in church. I've missed you so much, and glad you're here this morning, able to be here. But we've had some couples that have been married a long time, and I think of this verse, "And may you rejoice in the wife of your youth." May God give you that joy and that beauty and that wonder. And then chapter 6, I want to read in verse 20 of chapter 6. "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you wake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light, and the corrections of discipline are the way to life. Keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife, do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, and the adulteress preys upon your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. I want to say to our men today, our teenagers today, that pornography can destroy your relationship with God, and it can destroy your relationship with women too. You know that up here, but down in the heart is that place where the battle of pornography takes place. And that picture there, that young teenager there with his computer, I don't know if you can see very well, but the computer has a fire on it. And it's like taking, the Proverbs say, taking live coals and just putting them in your lap. Imagine how long that would be satisfying. Imagine how long that would be good for you until you would begin to burn and you would be scarred and you would be torched, and how difficult it is. Pornography, turn from it. Realize how far pornography is from the heart of God. The only one way to get over the addiction of pornography and the use of pornography, and that's simply to come to God and say, God, I know it's wrong, I know it's sin, and I need to turn away from it. God can help you to do that. If you struggle with pornography, men or women, predominantly more with men, know that God can help you with it and will help you with it if you come to Him and you do it on God's terms. The enemy takes something good and tries to destroy hot coals in the lap. Ask God for help. He's able to help you. And say to our ladies this morning a word that pornography may be an issue as well, different forms of pornography and written pornography and so many things. But another word that I want to say this morning, and that's the word sensuality, ladies. Be careful about your sensuality. God gave you a desire to be attractive. And that's a part of femininity that's beautiful and wonderful and nothing to be ashamed about. But be careful about that great gift, that you use it in a way that builds up the people around you, that builds up your faith and your reliance and your trust on God, but also for the men in your life, the boyfriends in your life. When you come to that place of realizing that part of you that is blossoming and blooming physically and emotionally and relationally, realize it's a great gift. Don't take it for granted. Don't waste it. Don't throw it away, but realize how precious that gift is. God gave you something amazing. Be responsible for it. Not only that desire, but that attraction. There's a scripture that says, don't arouse love before it's time. And I think it's so true of our sexuality, that we're careful about that. And realize the potential we have to bless or to harm those around us. Ask God to help you in whatever area it is that you are trying to live out your faith. Ask God to help you. If the issue is pornography, if the issue is sensuality, ask God to help you above all else. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, guard your heart. Say, God, my sexuality belongs to you. Who I am belongs to you. Help me in this area. If I'm off kilter, if I'm out of control, God, help me to hear your voice and to come back. Would you go to that last slide, please, Nate? Guard your heart, whatever you do. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Would you stand as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of marriage and the gift of sexuality. And you know, God, my heart today, sometimes I'm not sure how to say certain things and feels a little bit awkward. But God, this is so important to you and to us, and maybe it feels a little awkward because it's so important to us. God, you know the temptations that are out there. You know, God, that we as your people must make the decision and take the step to honor you in this precious area of our lives. I pray for every couple that's here today. First, Lord, I want to pray for those that are not married and pray, God, that you would help them to give to you the gift of what you've given to them in their sexuality, Lord, to understand that you can be honored in every area of their life and that they will be blessed by honoring you in this area. God, I pray that you would help them to commit that to you and find your path that's beautiful and wonderful. To every married couple today, I pray, God, that you would help them as well, help them in marriage and life and the challenges that come. Lord God, pray that you would bless every family, every husband, every wife. I pray for those, God, that maybe are separated or divorced and are here today and they hurt in ways, the needs that are not fulfilled. God, I pray that you would help them today as well. I pray, God, that they would feel your compassion, your passion, your love, your mercy, and that you would guide them in the decisions of their lives. Lord God, may we know how to live out this commandment and live out the heart of God. Lord, would you guard our hearts and help us to be focused on what you want us to, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. God bless.